that I called Smokey, and he never smoked. Isn't it funny?
Mm. He belonged to all the league.
Well, I don't know originally, really, because he was an old man, very old man. I used to have to go out every Saturday morning to see to him. Well, my grandmother and my brother went into market, and I used to have to collect the eggs and the general things that had to be done during the day. And of course, the first thing, as soon as the trap went over the hill, get the paper gal. It was always a gal. Mm. Get the paper gal. And this paper was put on, you know, the old-fashioned fireplace, fenders rather, that they used to have. And you used to have this brown paper and the sugar on top of it and redden the poker and make poker toffee. Have you ever had it?
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely toffee, isn't it? But only getting this here brown paper off that was the nuisance. We could have done with rice paper. But
where did they live?
The house under the reservoir now, mm-hmm. All the remains of it.
One of the farms.
And I don't know really what was the name of that farm. The only thing was, I had a poem, I'll show it to you just now. It was about my brother's wedding, and it was in the Weekly Times. It was marvellously done.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes, my daughter was saying, what was the name of the farm that Grandma lived in? And I said, I couldn't tell you. And then it just suddenly dawned on me, this poem that was written. It began with a man from the West who keeps a grey pony. I think he's best known as Robbie the Moaney. So it must have been the Moaney, but that's the only thing I ever remember about it. And with Philly the Desert, I asked somebody, I said, how did he get the name of Desert? And all his brothers were called in Desert, barring one, and he was called Tommy Nanny, and he kept cows, and it must have been in Spring Gardens where Senegal's had it after. I can remember when I was quite young seeing cows that he had been driven across Murray's Road to go up, I suppose up the prison way or something, to fields up there. But he was the only one of the family that was called Tommy Nanny. They always had these names, didn't they? These
nicknames.
Yes.
They were Cain, were they? Was his name Cain?
Yes, oh yes, it would be Cain.
And have you heard much about him?
Tommy Nanny, no.
No,
Philly
the Desert.
Awfully the Desert. Oh, well, the only thing is what I do know about him myself. But he was a lovable old man. He really was. I thought the world of him.
You remember him quite well, don't you?
Oh, very well, because I had to go out every Saturday and holidays and all that. I used to have to go out and help Granny and that. But Saturdays, always, I had to go out and see to him. To at the dinner, and although I was only a youngster going to school, but he was a lovely singer. The only regret I have, he was my step-grandfather, he wasn't my grandfather. Perhaps if he'd been a grandfather, I might have inherited some of his musical side. And he was very good at music. There was a man, Jonathan Cain, did you ever hear of him?
I did, yeah.
Yes, he was a great musician. And a lovely singer. There's only one man ever been on the radio that could come up to Mr. Cain for singing. Oh, he was a lovely singer. And he was conductor of the Crosby Brass Band, Mr. Cain was. And he always brought, they used to go to the band contest at Derby Castle. And he always brought the music to my grandfather, for him to go over it. And the only time he ever spoke to me about it, or that I was in the hearing of it, was the last band contest, and grandfather was ill in bed. In fact, it was his deathbed, and Jonathan Cain brought the music to him, and he couldn't see so very well, so they put the lamp behind his shoulder that it would shine on the music. And Jonathan Cain said the composer would have been thrilled at the way he whistled. So he must have been wonderful. And he used to go to St. Luke's Church, and he always had a tuning fork. And if there was no organist there, he used to hit it on the thing. And this is different people have told me, old people in Baldwin, used to hit it and, "Chet, that's not right." Mm-hmm. He would say, and then he would hit it again, and then he would start off. Mm-hmm. So, apart from...
He used to play the fiddle, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Now, he composed a song, a fairy song, and it was one week he had gone to Kirkmichael to sell some sheep. And he went on the spree occasionally. He didn't drink always, but occasionally he went on the spree. And when he came back, I suppose, whether he'd had it, but it was a long walk, you see, from Kirkmichael over to Baldwin. And he fell asleep. And then he said, he wakened up, he said, with the loveliest singing he'd ever heard. And he said, there they were, dancing around with green coats and red hats, or green hats and red coats, I can't remember, it was one or the other. And so when he came home, in the house where they lived, there was a ladder went up to a loft. And of course, when he came home, first thing was to get up, because his fiddle was up there, was to get up to the fiddle and try to get in his mind, get from his fresh in his mind the tune these fairies. He swore to the very last day that they were there. And there was only once I ever heard it, and this brother of mine that lived in the morning, he lived with my grandma, and he sang it once at a concert, and Thompson the shepherd played the fiddle that night. But where that song is, I couldn't tell you. But I know the chorus went hoot-rooting, toot-rooting, tam-ram. Mm-hmm. And there's a Miss Brown living in Foxdale. Have you ever met her? You would be interested to meet her. She knows seven languages. She's a little eccentric, so she's... I was telling her once, she wanted to know something about old Manx people, and I said, well, I can't tell you much really. I said, only with my grandfather mostly. And so she said, repeat that again. She said, I'm writing a book at the moment. She's written several books. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'd like to put that in. Mm-hmm. So I said, I couldn't tell you how it's spelt. Toot the rooting, toot the rooting, down the ram. So.
Was he a farmer?
Yes, they farmed that little place, but my brother farmed it chiefly. Mm. There were a few cows and that, but he was a really one of God's gentlemen. Mm. Was Smooky. Somebody
Why
said,
did you call him that?
I don't know. He always was. I never knew any other name on it but Smooky, and yet I've never seen him smoke. But he was very kind. I remember one experience I had when I was out. They had the habit of putting the spoon that they're stirring their tea into the sugar basin, and if you do that, the sugar gets stuck all around, and I didn't like that at all. So I used to always wash it, and this day I thought, well, I'll wash this sugar basin, and went to the kettle, which was nearly always on the slurry, and poured it in, and it was hotter than I thought, and it went clean in two pieces. Oh, I was upset. Oh, I said, what'll I do, Smokey? I said, what'll Gran say when she comes home? I don't know, girl. He said, she'll be very cross. He said, I know. And after a while, he said, I'll tell you, girl. We'll tell her the cat jumped up on the dresser and knocked it down. So we told her that. It was a lie. Anyway, she took it at first, and then she was cutting bread and butter for tea. And she suddenly turned round and she said, "It's funny," she said, "if the cat knocked that down off the dresser, it only came in two pieces." So we had. We had to.
We had to confess.
But she wasn't awfully cross with me. I was a bit of a fad when I was a kid, so I suppose she thought, oh, she's at it again. But I didn't think the water was that hot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but apart from anything else, there's really not much to tell. We used to...
Did you go to school in Bordeaux?
Yes. I went to school when I was 4 and a half.
You did?
My sister went in the morning and I kicked up such a shindy, Mother said. I wanted to go too. So of course, in the afternoon I was ready to go with her.
Had you found
across
a walk?
Five fields. Really, and the kids getting carried in the short distance today. I think it's an awful pity that is. Mind you, coming from into town, that's a different matter. But oh, I think it's shocking. The miles that we've had to walk. And I only missed one day. It was Margot's record, wasn't it?
It was, yes. And you stay there all day, I expect.
Oh, yeah. And not always, no, not always. If the weather wasn't too great, Mother would like to give us lunch. But otherwise we used to walk back for dinner and back again and back again.
How
at tea. Well, these five fields, I couldn't tell you the distance, and then two bits of roads, that's all, a bit of road to the chapel, you know, at Baldwin, you know, the little chapel, that's where I attended, and there was Sunday school there.
Who had the school then when you were there?
Mr. Barton was the first man, and then there was a Mrs., and I can't remember, Ruth was saying there was another teacher, and I said, yes, and Miss somebody, and I can't remember her name, and then Mr. T.P. Quayle came. But that he was a clever man.
Was he?
We were very fortunate because they reckoned that he was on the last school because of drink.
Mm.
But he was the cleverest man, and he was he had B and M.A. too, so there wasn't anybody hardly in town that had a man as clever as him.
He had an assistant, had he?
Yes, the last one was... Her father was a captain. Eventually she married him. I left school when I was 14. So then, of course, I had no father. And we had the post office.
Yeah,
I went there when I was 6 months old. It was only a few years ago that my brother gave it up. not many long years ago. And
did they do much business there then?
Oh, they did. Well, I had one brother went to town to get the letters, and the other brother had to deliver them all round. I remember once. I was only a little youngster then going to school, and the head postmaster came out because my brother was asking for more pay, and he came out, and there was a letter for the Nairy, which is at the bottom of the mountain. So they went up this road over a long way, and it started to snow. So now the postmaster said, "Go along, Hollister," he said. I'll see you at the post office. I can remember him washing his feet in the house because he was soaking.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother said, "Well, I'm sorry, sir," she said, "but it's only homemade knitted Manx wool," she said, "that I've got. I've been used to that in Scotland," he said. So it was very nice, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Humble. He wasn't it didn't make you feel afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
He made himself one of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my brother got the salary raised.
Mm.
So then when I was 14, of course, I had to go out. Mother would have liked me to have been either a dressmaker or a milliner. Do you see, there was 5 miles to walk into Douglas and back. And being a widow woman, she hadn't the money to pay for board and lodging, and you got nothing the first few years for learning it. Different to today. So all my life, that's what I was doing, so, till I got married.
Mm-hmm.
But it came in good stead.
Oh, I sure did. There wasn't much choice of employment.
Oh, there wasn't, no. No, I would have liked to have been a dressmaker. Mother had been a dressmaker, and I suppose that's why I should have liked me to have been a dressmaker.
Okay.
You know, I have done a lot of it, but I've never been taught.
You'd inherited from her,
I must have. I must have done, because I don't know how else I got it.
Of course, the old man's people must have been very good with their hands.
Oh, they were. Mother's hands were never idle, from what I can remember.
They made everything, didn't they?
Everything. And of course, she made all our clothes, and being like that, of course, I can always say about my mother, she always dressed us very nicely. She was a rather a proud woman in that way.
Mm.
She wasn't a haughty woman, but a proud woman. That's a big difference between the two. So I don't know what else I
what
can...
What part of the island were her people from?
My grandmother was Jane Mullen, and I've understood that she was a half-sister of Captain Quilliam's.
Mm-hmm.
Same mother, but not the same father.
Mm-hmm.
And this Mullen kept the Silverburn Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And, then there's another old lady that used to live in Baldwin, Mrs. Kelly the Weaver. She told me, she said, oh, your grandmother, she said, was a lovely looking girl. She was called the Fair Maid of the Glen. But she ran away with one of the men and married him at 16 years of age, and her father disowned her. Shocking. That's all I've got. I don't know. It's only what I've heard.
Mm.
But she was a very good-looking old lady, was Granny.
Mm. Have you got any photographs of her?
Did Ruth show you a photograph?
Oh, yes.
She did. Mm. Mm. With my sister and Smokey. She was a dear old soul.
Were these mills going in Baldwin?
Kelly the Weavers were going to...
Do you remember that mill?
Oh, I went to help them once. I remember Annie came down and she said, I was home at the time, and she said, I've come down to see if you'll come out and help Mother, she said, to allow me to go to the mills to work. So I said yes, but I was only 3 days in the house. I used to go down in the mill in the afternoon, and it thrilled me. And here goes. So I said to Annie, I said, you can stay home, and I said, now come down to the mill. So it was most interesting work. I liked it. I didn't do the mule. That was the spinning of the thread. But I've done it. It went through what they call the devil first, that tore it in pieces. Then it went to the scribbler, and then it went to the condenser. And then what was on the condenser went to make the thread on the mule.
Mm.
That was the son always did that. And I used to watch Mr. Kelly weaving, and of course he wouldn't allow anybody, not even his own, to weave.
He wove by hand, did he?
No, he had a big loom.
Mm.
Oh yes, he had a big
loom.
Oh, Powell. I'm sorry. Was he doing it prior to the feet? I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you that part.
But he did.
Oh, he did. And that was interesting work. But nobody was allowed to do it. But
what kind of materials did he make?
Dress materials, blankets. Stuff for shirts and drawers, all those things that underwear and outerwear they made.
Many different colours?
No, chiefly grey. No, they didn't have. I think they had brown ones, fawny brown. because they hadn't the dye, you see, to, the requirato had a dyeing part as well to dye the wool, but they hadn't.
He didn't do any dyeing
there? No.
Just the natural colour of the wool?
But it was most interesting work. Well, I liked it. But it finished when the old man gave it up.
Did he work very long hours?
All those days they did. No. They weren't, tell the truth, they were looking for a man when they couldn't get one. And that's why Annie came for me to see to the house while she was down at the mill. And I know he never said it to me. He never gave me the credit. But he told one or two that told me, said, "My word, Mr. Kelly speaks highly of you down in the mill. He says that you're doing better than many a man he's had."
Mm.
Well, of course, it was because I was interested.
Yes.
And if you're interested in a thing, you give the very best to it.
Mm.
So, but I was thoroughly interested.
How long were you there?
I was two winters there.
Mm.
Yes, and in the meantime, I went to stay with their daughter. I kept the boarding house in Circular Road. And after that, I went to my last place, that was in Crosby. I was 6 years there before
mm-hmm.
I married.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a real place to be in. She was a thorough lady. The others were only workaday people like ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but they pretended to be other than that. Yes, indeed.
They were quite hard times, weren't they then?
Half a crown a week up at 6:15 in the morning. I used to keep a penny for a stamp, a penny for collection, and a penny worth of sweets if I wanted one, and the rest, the 2 and 3, went to mother every week. So, they've gone too far the wrong way this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if they'd have stayed in the happy medium in the middle, they'd have been, we'd have been wiser today.
We'll never do that.
No, I think it's shocking really, but...
The hours must have been...
Oh, they
tired.
Were. You were never quiet.
Mm.
No. They're accepting the last place. The place I was in was a Mrs. Forsyth. And every afternoon I could go out. I used to love to go up round the roads and places that I'd never been before,
mm.
but that's how I liked. I know the first day I was out, she said, "Where did you get to?" And I said, "Up the Garth Road, I said, not past the old church." I said, "It was most interesting." She said, "You're rather a peculiar kind of girl, aren't you?" And I said, "For why?" Oh, she said, "The other girl I had," she said, "used to go to people's houses." Oh, I said, "There's nothing to be compared," I said, "to a walk in the country." But she thought it was very peculiar. But I was very happy there. And
it would be much more unspoilt and unbuilt on, I suppose, then, that part.
Oh, yes, it was.
It's just lined with houses along there now, isn't it?
Oh, well, this up the Garth Road, you went up the school hill, you see, and along there. And go into the old churchyard and read some of those things and all that. Oh, it was a great one for that.
Mm.
And different places then up the other way, round the other way. And
you didn't keep up your connection with Baldwin after that, I suppose?
Well, I didn't a great deal. No, of course I used to go home to see Mother. And I married a year after she passed on.
Mm. Do you remember very much about the St. Luke's Church?
Yes, I used to be, well, that's one thing. There was the unity of churches there, which they're asking for now. Because
mm-hmm.
if there was anything special at the church, the chapel choir would go up and help them. And if there was anything special at the chapel, the church choir would come and help
mm-hmm.
them. So there was the absolute unity. So I liked the church for a time. Mother wasn't pleased. And I used to love to go up. And my word, I think of it many Sundays since, to walk up the church road, which was called the Baljeg. I don't know how you spell it. That's the Manx name for this church road. You were breathing in a reverence.
Mm.
There's reverence in the air those days, but not now. You can't get anywhere. Even I used to go up around the Nab gathering blackberries, and used to be that quiet and still.
Mm.
But bless me, there's no place you can go but there's an airplane popping over your head, or you'll hear some traction engine
mm.
on the farm.
It's very quiet where Stoke's Church is, isn't it?
But the view from it.
Mm.
Oh, it's the best view on the whole of the island.
Mm.
To stand out on those steps on a lovely, sunny summer day. I've stood many and many a time and viewed the landscape or...
Mm.
I did myself once or twice raise the tunes in St. Luke's Church when the organist didn't come.
They had an organist then.
Yes, and Mr. Quayle was the organist, the schoolmaster. And so somebody said, I didn't think of it, somebody said, isn't it strange that Philly's granddaughter should be doing the same things as what he did?
Mm.
But I didn't have a tuning fork. Oh, and in the chapel, if ever there was no organist there, it was always, I had to do it. And I remember one day I was fed up, and it was Mr. R.F. Douglas, the builder, that was preaching that day. And I held my head down and I said, I'm not in chapel.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, is there anyone in the congregation that would be kind enough to raise the tune? I wasn't in. I still held my head down. Then he asked again. And Mr. Corkle, an old gentleman, he shouted from their pews were across by the pulpit, and we were on the body of the chapel. Now then, Christian girl, now then, Christian. Oh, I could have thrown my hymn book at him. And the worst of it was, the first verse was always a solo. They never seemed to think of joining in on less then. Anyway, this day we were going out of church, there were four of us, three school pals and myself, and one of them said, Christian, the preacher is calling you. I said, he can't want me. I said, he doesn't know me. Of course, I had to be courteous and go back. And he said, I want to thank you very much, he said, for the nice way you've raised these tunes today.
Mm.
And he said, I want to know if you'll come down to the Wellington Hall and sing for us. He said, we have a concert there to keep men from public houses every Saturday night. And I said, me? Go down to the Wellington Hall and sing? Oh, no. I said, oh, no, thank you. I'll see that you're taken down and I'll see that you're taken back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, thank you. I couldn't think of it. So I never did. But, you know, it wasn't until...
He was impressed.
Not many years ago that it dawned on me. I thought, don't you think you missed a chance that time, talking
mm-hmm.
to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, had I have gone down, there might have been some voice trainer in the place, and
mm-hmm.
thought, well, it's worth training her voice. But I said, I might have been a singer. I wouldn't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, it could have been that somebody would have been interested and trained my voice. Now, my brother was the organist and choir master in the chapel. When we had anything special, my brother used to say, if they had enough sopranos, you better get in the altos, kid. And if they had plenty of altos, you better get in the sopranos, kid.
Mm-hmm.
You see that I was... never really on the one thing. I like alto better than anything.
Mm.
But, of course, he wouldn't care as long as he got what he wanted.
Did they have some school treats in those days?
Oh, rather. And the parties.
Mm.
There used to be the bachelor's ball, all men serving. All the,
well, that's a chapel do.
That was a chapel do, yeah. And never remember much at the church. There were some, but I chiefly went to the chapel for those things. Oh yes, running around till the small hours of the morning. The games never started till about 11 o'clock at night.
Where did they hold it?
In the Sunday school where Mr. Hinton has got the house built.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was in two or three times, and I used to go out to Blackberry, and I used to go in to see Mrs. Hinton. So the first, when she asked me to go, I didn't intend to go, but then I thought, oh yes, go and see what they've done with the old Sunday school. So when we were having tea, I said, is there any part of the building, I said, belonging to the old school? And she said, yes, the back kitchen. That was the only part. But of course, it was all modernised, the other part. And he had a most marvellous garden at the back.
Mm.
Yes, I was very pleased to get the chance of going in to see what they'd done with the old Sunday school.
Was it recognised?
You couldn't, no, because it was modernised.
Mm.
But that's what she said. I know that day we had, she said, I'm going to get tea ready. And I said, no, don't. I said, because I'll get the next bus home. So she said, we're going to have tea, Mrs. Shimon. And we had it on a millstone, you know, those millstones they had for grand. They had that out in the back garden.
Mm.
So we had our tea on that. It was very interesting. And
of course, the corn mill's not far away, is it?
No, that's very near where I, well, that's been closed. Oh, long, long, long years.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've been in turning the corn with Annie, the daughter. And I used to have to go to get, we had to drag water. In those days, there was no pump or anything at all. And if I went down the mill street, I'd rather go down the mill street empty and bring the cans full coming back. And when I used to go down, especially the winter time, while the can was filling, I used to go into where the furnace was. And have a warm while the can was getting full and that.
They'd be busy in those days, I suspect.
He was, Mr. Clegg. Yes, he was kept very busy.
Mm.
But it's all ruined now. Oh yes, all round those. I love going round old places. There's an atmosphere with an old place.
Mm.
I didn't used to always get it, but I do get it now. I think the thoughts must be left around about the place. I suppose so, yes. But
where did they go for that Sunday school?
Picnics. Mm-hmm. To Laxey chiefly. Oh, and I can remember Williamson with his white coat and his trilby hat on him, and always ready to receive us when we'd be going there.
How did you travel?
Horse cars.
Mm.
Landaus. And we always had to walk up Redbridge Hill. And then there's another one. You know where that was? Rest and be thankful.
Mm.
Yes, we had to walk up. What Craig Willie's Hill, is it?
Slough Leg.
Slough Leg, is it? Well, we had to walk up there for the sake of the horses. But
did you go further than Laxey then?
I don't know, I can't remember.
Mm.
No, I can't remember. I've been to Silverdale, but that was with Box Road people.
That would be later.
Yes, with Box Road people, with my children when they were going to Sunday school.
And they're all closed now.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Mm.
We'll need them. The time is coming when they'll all be needed yet. Oh, we're allowed to carry on for a bit, but there's a full stop going to go. It'll have to be. Because the world is going really awry.
Mm.
But
the old people would be very surprised. They
My word. I remember when light stockings came in. Mind you, I hailed them with delight, because when I was a kid going to school, I used to say to Mother, I said, I don't like these black stockings going on me, and boots you had to wear those days.
Mm.
And she said, don't so silly. I said, well, why can't we have white wool on our feet up, just nearly to the top of our boots.
Mm.
And then I wouldn't mind them black. But she thought I had very funny.